98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Part of the show where we get you caught up on everything we know about that we're talking about here on the Burns and Gambo show and our reaction to all the top stories of the day. We call it the 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo show, and we thank you for being a part of it. Starting with a tweet that, tip of the cap to my co-host Gambo, who alerted me to this just a moment ago. Bob Nightingale, longtime baseball writer with USA Today, tweeted out about 45 minutes ago, the Arizona Diamondbacks and potential developers were in full force studying the gorgeous entertainment district surrounding SunTrust Park in Atlanta, preparing for their likely move to Scottsdale in 5 years.
Wow.
Woo. Well, we know there's been a little battle with Chase Field and money and the city and Phoenix, but now they've got the ability to, you know, go look around, talk to other people, see what is out there. And obviously any new stadium is going to have, you know, development rights and things like that too. But we've been kind of hinting at it. It's in all likelihood, that team is going to move.
And if you're going to put it anywhere, somewhere up and down that 101 corridor, right, around their spring training facility probably makes the most sense. You can build like a whole, I haven't seen Atlanta's new stadium, but there is a whole entertainment district there. Theaters and restaurants and shops and all that stuff, right?
It's all about the real estate. It is. That's how teams are making their money. The real estate. The ability to not only have an arena or a stadium, and everybody else is realizing, why would we have all these other people come in and make money when we could just control it ourselves? We'll put the movie theater there. We'll put the hotel there. We'll put the restaurants there. We'll reap the benefits of it instead of other people.
So, again, we'll keep our eye on that. But the key words here, quote, preparing for their likely move to Scottsdale in 5 years, close quote. Of course, who pays for it, how it gets funded, who fits the... I mean, all of that remains to be seen. Just want to throw that out there and let you know what the Diamondbacks and some developers are doing.
That's why they've got a bunch of people right now on the phone trying to call in for the Gambo's Super Trivia Cash Contest.
To pay for the new stadium.
To try to help pay for the new stadium.
We could play that contest for 10 years and not pay for that new stadium.
Yeah, I'm not paying that much.
No, absolutely not. Practice today for the Cardinals. No Buda Baker. No DJ Humphreys. No Rudy Ford, no Chad Williams, no Phil Dawson. He was not seen either. Robert Kemdichie and Mike Iupati were back to work today. We haven't seen the official injury update, but obviously Buda and DJ are the big names of the guys who didn't go. Take this for what it's worth. Buda Baker, and I just saw this on Twitter a moment ago, tweeted out a GIF of Arnold Schwarzenegger from the original Terminator. I'll be back. Does that mean he's going to be back on Sunday, or does that mean he's going to be back a couple Sundays from now? I don't know. It wasn't specific, but that's what he tweeted out.
If he didn't practice today, you tend to think he's not going to be able to go for Sunday.
Tend to think it'd get a little dicey, right?
You know, but if he's tweeting that out, that I'll be back, maybe it's a little bit of a hint that he's going to play on Sunday. Just gave him another day off.
Perhaps. We'll see. We'll see when the injury report comes out. Of course, Gambo will be doing Gambo things to try to find out for you.
Try to find out right now.
Carmelo Anthony's time with the Houston Rockets is done.
Ten games, it's over.
Officially parted ways.
God.
A formal announcement is expected before the Rockets play the Golden State Warriors tonight.
He's among the top 20 scorers in NBA history. But doesn't it seem like he was just never that good?
It just seems like you were never that good. Yeah.
I mean, I never liked him. I never thought he was a good team player.
I remember 1 year, he led the Denver Nuggets, if I remember right, to the Western Conference Finals. And I thought, wow, that's it. Melo's turned the corner. He's arrived. He's a thing. He's officially that guy in the NBA. I'm almost positive he led them there 1 year. And then after that, he's one of the most individual great talents in the NBA. But, man, team success?
Never.
Forget about it.
No, it doesn't happen. I mean, the Knicks had Amari. And Amari was the toast of the town. And he got the Knicks back to the playoffs. And then they brought in Carmelo. And then Carmelo overshadowed Amari. And they just never were able to click together. Carmelo's just never been a great teammate.
But our top story of the day. Oh, that was fun to watch last night.
It was great to see. You know, it reminds me of our last win, and now it's just time for us to build on it. Like you said, now it's time for us to take a step forward. We all know the feeling now. You know, when you win big games, it feels better. You know, so it's a positive energy moving forward that we need.
Devin Booker, after last night's 116-96 win over the San Antonio Spurs, it ends the four-game losing streak. It's just the third win out of 14 games for the Phoenix Suns so far. And I remember yesterday, Gambo, we were just I think
we were waiting to see how I was going to talk to myself on the way home. We were getting ready to
the blood pressure pills. Haven't needed today. I was just so hopeful, and I know you were too. I did not want to come in here and talk about another 20-point loss by the Phoenix Suns. I'm so relieved that we don't have to.
Listen, you know, we talk about the losing culture and how it drains the players. It drains us too. I get drained by it. Like, sure. I do. I mean, I'm singing "It's a Bright, Bright, Sunshiny Day" today. I can see clearly now. You know, the rain is gone. All obstacles in my way. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. I mean, I've been singing "It's a Bright, 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 Sunshiny Day" because the Suns won, and they looked good. They look good, and I'm happy about it. It was a great performance by the Suns last night. It wasn't a good performance. It was a great performance. They did so many things right offensively, so many things right defensively, so many things right coaching. I mean, it was just one of those games where you walk out of that arena and you're like, man, there is potential here.
Sure.
There is potential. Can they play like that again? I don't know. I mean, I mean, I don't know. It's in there. The potential's there to play like that.
I think the one guy who can't, all right, certainly not consistently, and I hate to say it, is Isaiah Kanan. He was 5 of 5 from the 3-point line.
Yeah, that's
we're not going to get that very often this year.
No, but we can't have 2 for 11 and, you know.
No, I agree.
3 for 14. I mean, he just can't do that to the team.
But is the rest of it sustainable? Can DeAndre Ayton play with that energy level? Can Devin Booker, who was trapped again all last night, can he be the assist guy that he was?
Yeah, he's a good playmaker.
Mikal Bridges in his team-oriented defense,
love him.
Plus 23, even though he only had 8 points. I mean, there were a lot of things about last night that, why can't they be sustainable? Why not? I think it can be.
I remember during the before the draft, we all did like, okay, outside of, like, Ayton, who's your favorite player? And I remember I said Mikal Bridges. That was my guy. I liked Mikal Bridges. You know, and who's going to be the best out of the group? And I didn't go with Bamba, and I didn't go. I went with Bridges because of the 4 years at Villanova, the 2 championships. He played for Jay Wright. I liked him. So I picked him, even though he wasn't the 19-year-old kid. He was the guy who played for 4 years. He was such a good basketball player in college, and, you know, because he stayed 4 years, with like, this stigma that, oh, he can't be that good. No, he's good. And I thought we saw it last night with him. He was terrific. Ayton was fantastic. The bench, I mean, Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford was great for them last night. He gave him a huge lift off the bench.
They went on a 30-14 run in the third quarter after the Spurs cut it to a point. 10 of those 30 came from Jamal Crawford.
2 on 3-pointers.
I mean, so he was money in the third when it mattered the most.
He has always, always been able to get his points, okay? He's always been able to knock down some shots and score. Weakness is defensively. And then, you know, with us here, is just we questioned, you know, this is a younger team. He's 38 years old. I mean, is there any fit? What he gave them last night was a nice shot in the arm, mm-hmm. a guy that could come off the bench. And when that game got close, when San Antonio made it 57-56, they had a guy with experience that's been in the league for a long time, that it didn't phase him at all. I'm just going to knock down a couple shots here.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, the fact that they were within one. I'm going to knock down some shots. Kanan hit a big three, and then down the stretch, it was a lot of Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford had a terrific game for them.
Igor Kokoschkov after the game.
50-point swing since we played him last time. You know, it just we have to be pleased with just that fact that we lost last game, but by the big margin, and tonight pretty some part of the game is definitely that we watch ourselves. We look like a team who can really compete with the best in
now,
this league.
Are we going to get that every single night? Of course not. I mean, it's still a young team. It's still a team in transition trying to figure out to win. But as you like to say, now we know it's in there. It's in there.
There are guys who are capable
of playing like
well,
that.
Well, listen, I remember you saying, like, where are they going to get a win? My God, where are they going to get a win? And you looked at the schedule. I'm like, they're going to run into a win somewhere. Now, maybe we don't. I thought it was going to be more where a team came in and thought it was going to be a walk in the park, and they were going to play well below their level. Last night had nothing to do with the way the Spurs played, and it had everything to do with the Suns played.
Spurs had lost three of their last four and are coached by Greg Popovich. I really doubt they were looking past the Phoenix Suns last night.
No, I really doubt it. No.
That's just not their MO.
They needed
That's
a
not
win.
His MO, right?
They needed a win last night. And so they went out and they played hard, but the Suns just played best. So it wasn't about a team that took the Suns lightly. It was just that the Suns played really good last night. And it was fun to be there. And you were there. I was there. It was atmosphere was good. It was fun to see.
They're facing a team that has been struggling all season long, which should only improve some surprising numbers from the Cardinals' defense. We'll explain coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Well, if they have to replace Buda Baker, it's going to be a tough one, says defensive coordinator Al Holcomb.
Buda's a special player, and he wears a lot of hats in our defense, which is hard to replace. But the players that we have, Binet, he's done a really nice job. Binet kind of fits into that mold as well as being a multiple positional player. In fact, Binet plays really three positions when you look at it, corner, nickel, and safety. So next man up.
And I believe that would be the plan if Buda Baker couldn't go. Binet, Ben Wickery would kind of slide into Buda's spot, and Jamar Taylor would then be the other cornerback.
And those are the
Patrick
two guys,
Peterson,
I think, that are having the hardest problem, the biggest issues with the zone coverage schemes that the Cardinals are playing right now are Ben Wickery and Taylor.
Yeah.
I think those two guys are having the biggest issues on that defense.
Now, we haven't seen anything official from the Cardinals about Buda's availability against the Raiders this weekend. We do know that during the open part of practice to the media, he was not out there. DJ Humphries wasn't out there. Chad Williams wasn't out there. A lot of guys weren't out there. We'll see Buda. I know this on his Twitter account. I just checked it again. He's just got
Buda.
He's got a GIF from Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Terminator, and it just says, I'll be back. Now, does that mean this Sunday? Does that mean he's going to be out for who knows? I mean, we've now been reduced to trying to read into Twitter GIFs to find out whether a guy's playing or not. I don't know if he's not. I'm just telling you what he's tweeting out.
I'll try to find out for you.
We'll see if we can get an answer.
I'm glad that a guy like Buda knows about the Terminator.
Me too.
Like, if I go to my wife right now, have you watched The Terminator? No.
Oh.
Do you know who even stars in it? No. Like, they just... What year was The Terminator? 80s?
84.
Yeah, it was before my wife was even born. She doesn't know The Terminator.
Such a good movie, but if we're being honest about it, the special effects now really don't hold up very well at all. Like, if you were to rewatch it again today, it's still a really good movie, but the special effects did not age very well in that movie at all.
That's the biggest issue I have with showing my wife old movies that I loved. The special effects are just
don't hold up.
30 years old,
yeah,
20 years old
so
compared
much better
to now.
So I
show her a great movie, and I showed her Close Encounters of the Third Kind. She's like, that movie sucks. Like, that's like one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, oh, my God, how could you say that?
You're just so wrong. Al Holcomb leads the Cardinals defense, a defense that statistically, we think of the Cardinals defense in 2018 and we think of guys running all over them, right? We think of Alfred Morris and Matt Breida. We think
Adrian Peterson
in the opener. Yeah. Thank you. Who was the Vikings second?
Murray.
That's right. Latavius Murray, who just was like running absolutely wild on them. Here we are, nine games into the season, and if you look at where the Cardinals stand defensively in terms of where they rank, it's not as bad as you would think it is for the Cardinals and where they are defensively.
In a lot of different reasons. They're actually statistically not too far off from where they were last year. The biggest difference is the rushing. That's where the biggest difference is. So this year, the Cardinals are 29th against the run. Last year, they were 6th. That's the biggest difference. But this year, they're 18th against points. Last year, they were 19th. Just a notch better, but not worse. They are 4th against the pass this year. Last year, they were 14th. They are 6th in sacks this year. They were 17th last year. And fumble recoveries, it's about the same, fifth and third. So the biggest difference on the negative side is the rush defense.
Right.
They are having a harder time stopping the run. The biggest difference on the positive side is that they've actually been better against the pass. They are a top five defense against the pass, where last year they were 14th. How do you consider that? How do you take that all in? You know, that's, like I said, it's very difficult to gauge it. There's a bunch of stats there, points, passing, rushing, sacks, fumble recoveries. But overall, they have improved on their pass defense,
yeah,
and they have struggled on their run defense.
Okay, I think it says two different things to the two of us, and at the end of the day, they're probably both to some measure right. To me, I read those stats, and I think it's a team that has really struggled to adapt to this 4-3, 4-2-5 concept that they're rolling out there because they just don't have the bodies for it. They just don't. Steve Wilks just doesn't have the linebackers that he used to have in Carolina to be able to run that kind of defense. And because of that, guys like Hassan Reddick, who all season long, at least early on in the season, was in the wrong gap and was getting punished. Deion Buchanan, who was getting punished in the run game. They didn't have the personnel to do it. You think that that's part of it, but you think it's also because the offense just was not on the field long enough and the defense was getting worn out by the run game.
I think it's a big part of it is how bad Mike McCoy's offense was and how long the defense was on the field, because McCoy's offense was three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out, punt, 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 and now you kept giving the ball back. So I do think that's part of it. I think that the Cardinals defense was playing about 15 to 20 extra plays per game because of McCoy's offense. I do believe that.
All right. While we debate that, we also need to give away some of Gambo's money here in the 4 o'clock hour. Yeah.
Look, not for nothing. I love money. Don Money.
Eddie Money.
Norm Cash.
Dave Cash.
Cameron Dollar.
Swin Cash.
Johnny Cash.
Brad Penny. Buck Showalter.
Penny Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway.
Bucky Kent.
Where's Penny Hardaway?
They ran out of names. Caller number 9. 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. It is time yet again for Gambo's Super Trivia Cash Contest, where he's going to give you $250 out of his own wallet.
Yeah, my wife's not very happy about this.
I'm sure she's not. It's a vacation that you guys aren't going to take. Right. $250 out of his own wallet if you can answer his trivia question in this hour.
Trivia.
We've had trivia. Thank you. I was trivia. Struggling with that for a moment. We've had two winners so far today.
Yeah, we should go to school.
So so the pot right now stands at $250. If we get a winner in this hour, it'll be $250 next hour. If we don't, we're going to double it and give away $500 in the next hour. Let's go out to the phones. Carson is joining us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Hi, Carson.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. You ready to play Gambo's Super Trivia Cash Contest?
Let's do it.
All right, Gambo.
This isn't Carson Palmer, is it?
No.
All right, good.
No.
Okay, that's good. He might be able to get this one if it was. All right, ready?
He's going to read a question. You have 24 seconds to answer it, all right?
All right, Carson, ready? Here is your question. Who has the most career wins as a head coach in Arizona Cardinals history? Who has the most career wins as a head coach in Arizona Cardinals history?
Bruce Arians.
Carson, you're a winner in what was by far the easiest question we've had so far in this contest. That was a no-brainer. And you're right. And Gambo's right. If you are Carson Palmer, you should have known that. Even if you're not Carson Palmer. If you were Carson Daly, you should have known that. All right?
3 for 3 on the winners today.
Yeah, we're 3 for 3. Carson, you sit tight.
Hey, don't spend all that money in one place. You can pick up the America Greatest Hits album.
Don't do that with it. Carson, stay on the line. We're going to put you on hold. Get all your vitals to make sure that we give you your money. Man, we haven't given out one board game edition of the Burns and Gambo Show yet so far.
I know. It's a great Christmas present, too. The Burns and Gambo board game edition.
Yeah, the home edition of the Burns and Gambo Show, where you can play along to the show. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Today, if you were playing the Burns and Gambo home edition.
Oh, by the way, just real quick, we're going to get Jamal Crawford on the show in about 20 minutes.
At 4:45?
So, yeah, just talk to him and ask him to come on. So he's going to come on. Jamal Crawford's going to come on at 4:45. Had a great game last night for the Suns. So I just hit him up, and he's going to come on the show.
Sounds good. We are live 75th Avenue and in Canto today at the AT&T. We're on the southwest corner of 75th Avenue and in Canto. We're going to be here until 6. AT&T, very proud to be a partner for this year's Holiday Heroes fundraiser, our annual fundraiser, benefiting the 100 Club of Arizona, providing financial assistance to the families of injured and fallen first responders. You can stop by and make a donation. We're accepting those on site. You can also stop by any of your local AT&T stores to find out how first responders and their families can save 25% off eligible wireless plans. We're looking forward to seeing you today at some point. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. He put an exclamation point on his performance against the Spurs. Was that the moment we've all been waiting for from DeAndre Ayton? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. And for that, we go back to the Auction Community Studios where our own Jordan Bird is.
Get right back to where we started from.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
Well, you are in a good mood today. You're just randomly quoting
right
songs
back
from the
to
70s.
Where we started from.
It's happy.
Love is good. Love can be strong. We got to get right back to where we started from. Is that Linda Ronstadt?
I have no idea. Jordan, I hope you don't know the answer to that question.
I don't.
No, it's not Linda Ronstadt.
Right, no.
Good.
Yeah. I was born way before that. Or
Maxine Nightingale.
Way after
that's
that.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Maxine Nightingale.
Thank God we can all move on with our lives.
See, the Suns win, and look at the good mood
and look at
people
exactly.
Like, I'd rather actually have the Suns lose through your singing.
Hey, amen to that. What's today's poll question there, Jordan?
Yeah, what is it?
What was your biggest positive takeaway from the Suns' blowout win over the Spurs?
So many to choose from.
55% say the team's energy/effort.
It was good.
39% say Bridges in the starting five.
Loved that one.
3% say solid play from the bench. And
the bench was good.
And 3% say Isaiah Kanan's finding his shot.
He did find a shot. All of the above for sure. But I would go Bridges.
Yeah. That's who I'd vote for. Because that to me is the one that... That you can do every single game. I don't know if you're going to get that level of effort every single night. You should. In a perfect world, you do. But you can start Bridges every night, and I think we saw last night what they're capable of when they do start Mikal Bridges. That's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo on Twitter.
Playing good in the first half, and then, you know, the team come out and try to throw their best shot at us, and they tried it. But we start throwing right back at it. We start throwing punches right back at it.
DeAndre Ayton after the game yesterday, in which he sort of, with this play, might have really... I don't want to say introduced himself to Phoenix Suns fan, but, man, it felt good to watch him do this.
Here's the lob in underneath. Those are tough plays. Ayton follows. Wham, bam, slam.
Wow.
Oh, DeAndre Ayton with authority. He jams it through and is fouled on the play. Oh, brother.
Flexed his muscles. He screamed after he did it. 17-10 last night for DeAndre, which in some ways is a very typical DeAndre Ayton stat line so far.
Sure.
In his Suns' career. Sure. But to watch that game.
What's he got, nine double-doubles now, I think?
I think it's eight.
Eight or nine?
Eight or nine. I can't remember. I have to go look for sure. But anybody who watched that game knows that has not been the typical DeAndre Ayton performance so far this year. A lot of those stats up until last night were empty. Last night, it just felt better, looked better, and not just because of the dunk.
I think they wanted him to get off to a better shot, a better start. The first basket of the game was a DeAndre Ayton hook shot over Aldridge. Then he had another play down in the low block in the first quarter. So he kind of got off to a little bit better of a start in that first quarter when he jumped up. He had some baskets. And then he had a beautiful dunk from Josh in the second quarter. And I just think he got off to a quicker start. So he wasn't trying to make up for it in the second, third, and fourth quarters. He had a more balanced game throughout the game. And obviously, the thing that's just so great about him to me, he doesn't miss shots. He just doesn't miss many shots. His shooting percentage, I mean, it feels like it's about 75% almost every night. I mean, it's always like, 8 out of 11 or 9 out of 12. I mean, last night he was 8 out of 11. He had 17 points. He had 10 rebounds. He got the double-double. So he was fantastic. But here's the other thing. He took less shots than Josh Jackson did coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So I am still waiting for the day when Devin Booker and TJ Warren go to each other. Hey, man, let's just feed the beast. Let's feed the beast. Let's see what happens. Because Devin Booker and TJ Warren, as I've said, they're high-volume shooter guys. They take a lot of shots. They combined for 31 shots last night. DeAndre Ayton took 11. And so if you take Booker, Warren, and Jackson, all those guys shot the ball more than Ayton. Even Josh Jackson off the bench, like I said. I can't wait to see the game where he goes for 35 and 15. Everybody's like, oh, my God, look what he's capable of. He has the ability to be an all-time center, the guys we remember, the guys that were dominant centers in the 80s and the 90s. He's got a chance to be that type of player and kind of change the position a little bit.
Yeah, he said, look, he was asked about his aggressive dunk.
That was the DeAndre I had to show from college, you know, because I don't think this league wants that.
I don't think this league wants that. I thought that was a funny answer. He was also tired of people saying he wasn't being aggressive.
You know what your strengths are. You know, rebounding is putting the things going back strong. I just got tired of hearing people say I'm not aggressive. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, that's basically a statement. You know, that's going to be consistent for the rest of my career. Until I can't jump.
I'd say the biggest difference I saw to DeAndre last night was he was attacking the rim in ways that I don't feel like I've seen a lot of so far this year.
With authority.
On the pick and roll where he was charging after it, where he was not settling for jump shots necessarily. He was playing more back to the basket, using more of his physicality down low. Defensively, what he did. LaMarcus Aldridge was, what, 3 of 12?
Yes.
Last night in the game. Now, that wasn't all against Ayton, but some of that was against DeAndre Ayton. He was just playing a more imposing brand of basketball last night, as opposed to what we've seen a lot of this year, where he's kind of standing at the top of the key, he gets the ball, he passes out, or he gets the ball down low, doesn't like the matchup, passes out, and doesn't call. There was one moment last night where he was down low in the block, he got the ball, he didn't have a good angle, he kicked it right back out, and then immediately called for it again, aggressively, passionately, coming with it with an attitude. That's been kind of hit and miss from DeAndre Ayton so far this year. We saw it in spades last night. That 17-10, that was different than your typical 17-10.
Listen, nothing gets the bench up more than a big guy like that dunking in. And there was a play in the fourth quarter where he actually was like a loose ball. It kind of like got lost in between a couple of guys on the floor. And he grabbed it, dunked it, got fouled, three-point play, 93-78 Suns. And the guys on the bench, you know, Rashawn Holmes, they were just going nuts because he's just, I mean, a guy at that size, the way he can dunk a basketball, he's got a good shooting touch. I mean, he did knock down a couple of jumpers over Aldridge. And he just, I mean, what an improvement. I mean, we were talking about that before yesterday. I mean, he got slaughtered by Aldridge the last time. Was there an improvement with DeAndre Ayton? And there was. I mean, he definitely learned from that first game against the Spurs and got better. Sky's the limit for this kid. Could be the best center in the league in a couple of years. I mean, he really could be. Could bring the position back to what it was a few years ago, being that dominant guy. I would love to get together with Booker and TJ and say, hey, one day, just feed the kid the ball 25 times. Let's see what happens.
For what it's worth, DeAndre Ayton was just named by Sports Illustrated so far as the best rookie in the league for the first month of the season.
I agree with Sports Illustrated.
For what it's worth. The numbers have been there. But like I say, anybody who watched that game last night, it was just better. It was what it needed to be with the numbers.
And there'll be a lot
it.
More of those. Those numbers are going to be ordinary. These are ordinary numbers. There's great numbers coming. These are very ordinary numbers for him. He's capable of a lot more.
It was a complete team win for the Suns last night, including a huge contribution from our next guest, Jamal Crawford from the Phoenix Suns, with a big third quarter. Will join us next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Last night's win against the Spurs, at one point San Antonio in the third quarter cut it to a one-point lead. The Suns then went on a 30-14 run the rest of the third quarter, and our next guest joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line was responsible for 10 of those 30 points. That's just scoring 10 of those 30 points. There were a couple of assists thrown in there for good measure as well. Joining us right now from the Phoenix Suns, Jamal Crawford, here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Jamal, I'm Dave. This is Gambo. Welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Absolutely. Great to talk to you, Jamal. Awesome game last night. I mean, that third quarter was fantastic. I mean, you really, you know, they cut it to 1 point. They got it to 57-56. You knocked down two big threes. You knocked down a couple of jumpers. But the main thing is you got an opportunity. I know you've been waiting for this, the opportunity to show this team that you could help them in games like that.
Definitely. You know, I've been called upon my whole career in those type of situations. And, you know, you win as a team and lose as a team, so it's never just me out there. I just think when it comes to trying to close games and kind of handle that adversity, I've been in those situations before, and I feel comfortable in those situations. So any way I can be out there to kind of help out and try to help towards winning, I'm all for it.
But you've always been a guy that could get your baskets. You've always been a guy that could score in this league. Was it tough? I mean, was it tough in the games, you know, in Boston not playing? Against Brooklyn, you got 4 minutes. Memphis, 6 minutes. Was it tough biding your time and just waiting for that opportunity so you could show this team what you could do?
Yeah, it was tough. I know. I mean, but I got here, you know, I missed training camp. I missed preseason. So at the beginning of that, I thought, you know, I'm just getting acclimated. I'm trying to learn a couple of different positions, trying to learn a playbook, trying to learn different schemes. But as the season's gone on a little bit, I've gotten more and more comfortable. I think I've gotten in better shape as well. And, you know, hopefully, like I said, I can impact winning in some way, shape, or form. Even if it's not always just the scoring part of it, trying to tell guys what I see on the sideline and then help them apply it while I'm out there with them so we can all be successful for our sons to win some games.
Now, I noticed some of that last night as well. Do you find that you're taking it upon yourself to kind of play the role of the vocal veteran when it comes to some of these younger guys?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, Ryan, Trevor, everybody kind of leads in different ways, so they definitely are leading as well. But for me, being more of a ball handler, just saying things I've seen, different situations I've seen and things of that nature, I'm able to kind of apply it a little bit more. You know, so I'm just telling guys, hey, if you set the angle of the screen this way, I can get downhill and maybe neither one of us will get the shot, but you'll draw a defense and our shooter will get a shot over there. So just different things I see and try to apply that. And the guys are really receptive, and that's what's really cool about it. You know, they really listen, they take it to heart, and they try to apply it. So I'm all for it.
Of the three of you, and I don't mean this as a put down to the other guys, would you say that you're more vocal than the other two?
I think they're vocal. I think you just see mine a little bit more. I'm so into the game, even when I'm on the sideline, you know, I'm screaming, I'm yelling. I had something going where I had everybody stand up until we scored a basket, but the other day it took us a little while, so the league said we got to sit down. So, yeah, I'm just into the game. I try to stay locked in no matter what.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. We've had a lot of veterans come here over the years, and the feeling is that sometimes, you know, bringing that veteran in is a little bit overrated because we haven't seen the impact. We haven't seen the veterans, you know, have a big impact on a lot of these younger players. So what's different about, you know, this group of veterans, including yourself, in helping some of the younger players?
Well, I think for me especially, I just pride myself on doing that. You know, even last year, I won the Teammate of the Year. And what I was most proud about with that award was that was something I wasn't trying to win. You know, when you're winning for sixth man or rookie of the year, MVP, you know, it's a certain stat line that goes with that or a certain impact on the court. But Teammate of the Year, to me, is a selfless act, and it speaks more about character that you really want, you know, somebody to be successful next to you even more than yourself sometimes. So I was really, really proud of that. And, you know, it's something I've always done, but even more so now because we have such a young team and I've been through so many experiences and so many different things to see on the court, you know, and the small things, even – I don't know if you guys saw it, but somebody told me they saw it yesterday. Book was looking to get everybody involved first, you know, but then when he wanted to turn on his scoring, put on his scoring hat, it took him a second to kind of get going. And I was about to shoot a technical free throw. I'm like, no, you shoot it. You see the ball go through and, you know, pay dividends. Any score, we can get any advantage. If we see the ball go through one time, it kind of ignites us. And Book put his scoring hat on after that, and then they had all kinds of problems because he was doing both things.
That's outstanding. You know, we watched the Minnesota thing, the implosion this year with Jimmy Butler and then just getting traded and, you know, the Wiggins and the Karl Anthony Towns. So you were there last year. You were part of that. What made you want to leave that situation and just create a new opportunity for yourself?
For me, I wanted to be in a happy environment. You know, I really did. I and not more so with that. It didn't seem like, you know, and I didn't want it to feel like work coming to the job. I love to play basketball. I love being on the court. I've enjoyed this ever since I was a kid, and that joy was kind of gone a little bit. So for me, I just wanted to get back into a happy environment. I didn't really care about the financial part of it. If I had to give up some money or whatever, I just wanted to be in a place where I thought, you know, I could play you know, a little bit more and then actually have some fun. So that was my whole thinking in that thought process.
We'll talk with Jamal Crawford, one of the heroes of last night's big win, the Suns over the Spurs. And Jamal coming off the bench, 4 out of 5. He knocked down a couple of three-point shots. He had 11 huge points and was key to that big third-quarter run as the Suns take care of the Spurs last night. There's been a culture of losing here for a number of years. It's been tough. It's been really tough. But there's talent. I'm with Devin and with DeAndre and with Mikal. What do you see when you look at this team? Because a lot of people look at the Suns, they say, It's been 8 years of losing. You're there now personally. You're seeing some of these young players. I mean, do you think that this team is closer than we give it credit?
Yes, I really do. And I think it's just a matter of getting some veterans in, to be honest with you. I think, it's hard to win as a young team and, like, really win big. It is. It's the NBA. It's the best players in the world. And sometimes you have to go through those ugly days and that process of building things. Sometimes you have to take a step back to get it forward. But I think when you reset, you look at the building blocks that the guys you guys mentioned, I mean, those are building blocks that any team would love to have. You know, set the parameters. They're all different positions, so they all complement each other well. And then you add some veterans in that mix who are about winning and about seeing those guys grow and reach their full potential. And then you have something. You know, you have from a distance, if you have a free agent, to be looking, saying, hey, you know what, they got young guys, they got veterans, they're willing to do whatever it takes to put the best product out there. They're willing to help their guys. They're willing to watch the guys grow. It's a great place to live. You know, the coaching staff, all that stuff plays a part for free agents, and I think that's where you really get good when you see that it's reset and you see the younger guys are in place and they're getting better, and guys want to play with that. I mean, you look back when we were at the Clippers, it started with Blake Griffin, you know, and then DeAndre Jordan, and then Chris Paul. You're like, oh, they're serious now. You know, so sometimes it takes moments like that.
Jamal Crawford here on the Burns and Gambo Show. I want to ask you a question about Igor. Given how much time you've been in the league, how many coaches you've played for, there was some nervousness among the fan base over the last couple of weeks about how the connection was going between coach and players and whether the message was getting through. You've been doing this a long time. How is that connection between coach and player that you've been able to see?
Well, I think it's great. It really is. It's a work in progress. I mean, it's not where it will be. Obviously, we've only been in the season, 3 weeks to a month now, and it's just like the first – it's not even the first quarter if we looked at it that way. But Igor, for me, he doesn't have any agenda. Like, he really is just trying to win. He's open to suggestion. He's open to communication. He's open to talking about things. And I think, you know, sometimes when you have coaches who are kind of stuck in their ways, that's where the problem kind of lies, because they've had success maybe, or maybe they haven't had success. Whatever it is, they're stuck in their ways and they're not open to change. And sometimes, you know, nobody can ever stop growing. Even me in my 19th year, if I see something, if somebody sees something, if there's a rookie or a second year player, and they see something that can help me, I'm open to it. You know, you never should be stuck in your ways, because at that point you're done growing. There's no point in doing it. So I think he has a pure heart. I really do. And he's not perfect. None of us are. But I think he's working towards building for now and the future. It's just about figuring out different things. But there's no agenda there besides winning. So I'm happy with him.
Jamal, there was an era with the centers when you had Hakeem and you had Patrick Ewing and you had David Robinson and Ralph Sampson, Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, it was so many great centers in the league.
Yeah.
In the 80s and the 90s, you know, you weren't playing at that time, but you remember watching those guys play.
For sure.
Does DeAndre Ayton remind you of any of those old school centers and the way they played?
Oh, that's a good question. He's something. He is something. I didn't see him too much in college, but to see how he passes the ball and how unselfish he is, the first couple games, I'm looking at him, and I'm like, wow, he sees the game like a point guard on the block. Like, he sees where the pass should go. He sees how to draw the defense. He even knows how to fake out a pass by, you know, with his eyes to get somebody off kilter to make the right pass. He's so unselfish. And that like, took me by surprise. And he actually puts the ball on the money. So, with him, he's just a unique, unique talent. He wants to be great. He's driven. He's like a big kid. Now, I don't mean that in any disrespect at all. He's just, I mean, when I say it, he's so much energy, so full of life, always wanting to learn. Always, you know, having a good time, but it's serious. And he's a special, special talent. I always tell him that. Like, he's going to be one of the faces of the league for years to come.
Jamal, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes.
Anytime. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Jamal.
Jamal Crawford joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. If, and this is a big if the Cardinals are looking for a new head coach this offseason, just how attractive is this job here? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.